Let's pray. And you might like to just stretch out a hand where you are seated towards Jeremy as a sign that we're praying for him now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray now for Jeremy that your spirit will guide him as he brings the word that he has prayerfully prepared. And for all of us, we ask that you'd open our hearts and our ears, inspire our full attention, and help us to know what you are saying to each of us today. Amen.
Amen. As you've heard, our theme this morning is the second part of our generous community theme. It's about receiving help. And the question for all of us is, does our pride prevent us receiving or asking for help? So just think about that for a moment. Does your pride prevent you asking for help? I thought initially when I read that my pride didn't. But actually, as I reflected on it, I thought, actually, yeah, maybe it does. So I asked for a lift to the men's breakfast because my car had a puncture. And there's also, I think, the element of not wanting to be a burden to other people. And I think this is certainly a big thing, I think, for me in asking for help. But actually, it's a real blessing to be asked for help. And I'm trying to think of an example, but the one I've got is at work in terms of being a mental health first aider. And we've got someone who's off sick at the moment, and I've been asked to go and meet with them and help. And that's, it validates me in that role. So I think when we're thinking about asking for help, don't forget that that can actually be a blessing to the person that you're asking to help you. So just briefly looking at the Exodus passage, I think the first thing about this is the wisdom of a father-in-law. And I think this is one passage that I might keep for the future. hopefully. But of course there's also a very serious point about, particularly for those in leadership, the importance of delegation. And also recognizing the value that other people can bring to giving you advice and being able to listen to that. So obviously Moses couldn't see the mistake he was making, but his father-in-law could. And Moses wisely listened to that and was able to respond to that. So I want to primarily focus our sermon on the very similar, very familiar verses from verse 28 to 30. So if you've got a Bible or a mobile phone and you want to turn to that, I'm going to work through those verses in some detail as we reflect on what they mean to us. It starts, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." So that first statement is, "Come to me." So if you like, it's an instruction, it's a command. It requires a response. "Come to me," says Jesus. At the end of the sermon, we're going to have an opportunity to respond and to come to the front. And I certainly found it very helpful to actually physically to respond to what God may be saying to me. So this is our opportunity to come to Jesus in response to what we hear this morning. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." All. So we might feel, maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's for only people in church. Maybe it's only for Christians, but it's for all. Jesus says, "All you who are weary and burdened." So what burdens is Jesus talking about? Well, at the time, there was a lot of legalism from the Pharisees, and that was a burden that was placed on people. And of course, there are the many visible burdens that we see around us. We see on TV the physical burdens we see in the people around us, ill health, the homeless people we may see on the street. But also there's a huge amount of hidden burdens, isn't there, in each of our lives. Dan talked about loneliness last Sunday. There's the guilt. There's perhaps anger, an unwillingness, a lack of forgiveness for others. And there's the whole range of mental health conditions that exist. I think in society we've made huge strides actually in just in the last 3 or 4 years in terms of this whole issue of being able to ask for help and particularly recognising mental health conditions. And certainly in my business it's been, I would say, almost transformative in terms of the last couple of years, the focus there is on this and the willingness to help. I'll just give you one anecdote to illustrate this. So I was sitting outside my lecture hall, about to go into a lecture, and just chatting with somebody I'd only met 2 or 3 times before Christmas on the same course. And I said, how are you doing? And he said, well, my partner died over Christmas. And then we talked about that. I said, I'm sorry. And he talked about how he was dealing with that. And as a result of that, he was a bit sort of not on top of everything at university. So I think that was really interesting because I don't think maybe 5 years ago he would have shared that so easily. And probably I wouldn't have been as prepared to deal with it either. So I think it's really good that this is happening and we're more open. But the question for us in the church is, how good are we at it in the church? How good are we at being open about the challenges we face? How good are we at asking for help? It's quite easy, isn't it, to come to church on a Sunday morning and then have a quick chat afterwards and how are you doing? Yeah, I'm fine. But it's really important that we go beyond that, isn't it, as church members, as family members. And our home groups are a really important place for that. So I'm going to show you a video. It's about 4 minutes long. I've chosen not to cut it because I think it's important that you see the whole length of it. It's about anxiety. It's told by a girl telling her own story. It is quite shocking and includes the subject of self-harm. So I think it's important for 2 reasons. Firstly, that we're aware of this issue as one of the issues that we need to help people with. And secondly, that we feel we can talk about it, because I know there are people in this church who have been impacted by this issue. I'm sure that's had a real impact on you. But it's a very real problem in our society. It will have affected people that you have come across, I'm sure, people that you know. And it's really important that we're equipped to talk about it and help those who need help. So that particularly has impact on you. Margaret or Lawrence would be very happy to talk to you about it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So, of course, we need to be there for each other. And that is one way that Jesus helps us in these burdens that we hold. But it's Jesus we need to come to as well. We can help each other, but ultimately it's Jesus. He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So what does this phrase, take my yoke upon you, mean? So we've got a picture of a yoke, I think, Abby. Can we have a picture of a yoke? It's not an egg yoke. So there's a picture of a yoke. There's different types of yoke. There's a neck or bow yoke. There's a withers yoke. There's a head yoke. There's even a single yoke. But most of them are putting two animals together and helping them to do a job. Now, there's a general sort of sense of subservience, of toiling around a yoke. And there was a Roman phrase or Latin phrase, passum sub iugum, which is pass under a yoke of spears. And it was something that they did to humiliate an enemy or to remove blood guilt. And this was 146 BC. So this would have been familiar to Jesus' audience as part of the concept of a yoke. And of course, there's the idea of being yoked together in marriage. So there's a phrase in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So there's a bit about subservience, about partnership, but I think it's really about effectiveness and efficiency in terms of doing a job. So the yoke helps the animals work together and pull the plow together. And so it's about a number of things. It's about ownership. So the farmer who owns those animals is in ownership of those animals. It's about direction, a clear direction of where you're going. It's about a purpose. In these cases, it's about ploughing a field or pulling a cart. It's about teamwork. So that yoke is about doing the job well. So take my yoke upon you. Are we prepared to take Jesus' yoke upon us? I think there's also in that, take my yoke upon you, it doesn't read to me as an imposition. So Jesus is not saying, right, you're mine, here's your yoke, get on with the job. We need to make that decision to take his yoke upon us. And we need to learn from him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So Jesus had the role of a rabbi. And it was common for the disciples of a rabbi to learn from him, to listen to him, to sit at his feet, to listen to his teaching. So how do we learn to deal with our challenges, our burdens? Well, firstly, the Holy Spirit can help us deal with these issues. You know, there are some horrible things going on in the world, aren't there? There are horrible things that we've just seen. Jesus understands those. And through his Holy Spirit, he wants to reach into our lives and help us. We learn from each other in fellowship, don't we? And we learn from reading the Bible. So over time, Jesus can help us to deal with our burdens. For I am gentle and humble. Gentle and humble in heart. And this echoes the prophecy in Isaiah 42 about the character of Jesus, verses 1 to 3, where it says, he will not bruise a broken reed. So Jesus comes with humility and gentleness. That's his character. He wants to help us, support us in our challenges. And you will find rest for your souls. So this is the second time Jesus has said rest in this verse. In the Hebrew, the word is nuach, to be quiet. In the Greek, cessation or refreshment. It's not necessarily although rest from work is important. In this case, the yoke is not a rest from work. It's a rest for our souls. And at the end of the sermon, we will sing a song that reflects how we feel in our soul. So this is about feeling right with God, whatever our burdens are, feeling connected with him. I found this definition, not a rest from activity, but the harmonious working of all the faculties and affections of will, heart, imagination, conscience. Because each has found in God the ideal sphere of its satisfaction and development. So come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And why? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.